That's a baby ball.
How was your week, Tori?
It's good. Almost got my wood stacked. Almost got a little bit. I should be able to finish it tomorrow.
Nice. So,
feeling good about that.
I have a good wood stack. I didn't go there.
I don't know. This may all be cut. We'll see. Welcome to.
It should be cut.
Yeah. Another episode of Podjiva. Oh, God. All right. We're starting over. But the timer's still going. We just lost 30 seconds. Welcome to another episode of Podjiva, the Podjiva television podcast. I am Podjiva comedy editor Dan Hamamura. With me, as always, are Podjiva managing editor Tori Preston.
Hello, Dan.
Hello, Tori. And the founder of the late 90s band Rolls, Bugs, and Harmony, Dustin Rolls.
Hello, Tori.
Hello, Dustin. Wait, Dan, real quick, can you say the website name again?
The website, it's Podjiva. Am I getting that right?
Podjiva, yeah.
Podjiva? That is correct.
Is that correct?
You know how we know it's correct is because the publisher of the website has never once corrected you. And that's we know right. He's conflict averse, but I feel like maybe he's not that conflict averse.
I'm very sensitive about that particular issue.
Yes.
And what are some alternate versions that are wrong, Dustin?
Podjiva.
Or Podjiva? Oh, Podjiva. Oh, yeah, where you put the emphasis. Yeah,
I think some people you do a silent J, so it's Podjiva, which is really just what? There's a J there for a reason.
No, but that sounds like a... I would smoke that.
Mm-hmm. It also sounds like appropriative. Like if you name this website Podjiva, that you're being culturally insensitive to somebody.
Yeah, I can see that.
To somebody, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who, but
no. It's an American word.
Got that hard J.
That I made up.
All right. So it's Podjiva, which is why this is Podjiva.
And I made it up when I still live in the South, so it's actually Podjiva.
Oh, well, we're never saying that.
Yeah, no.
Because that would be culturally insensitive if I tried to do that.
We're not allowed to speak like that.
Podjiva. I can't do it.
Anyway, Podjiva, pretty good website. You should check it out. You know, that's where you know all of us from, probably. And definitely nothing else.
Definitely. The CIA.
Yeah. CIA has a podcast now.
Do they?
Have you been a guest? Us and them. No, but I'm just saying that they are they're getting into the podcast game, which I think tells you that we're on something with
and convenient that you would know that.
Also tells you that they don't understand what podcasts are.
Or what the CIA is.
This feels fairly antithetical, but okay.
Look, it's fine. It's definitely not a trap to subscribe to them. No. It's not a trap to subscribe to us, so you definitely should do that.
Oh, we don't. Yeah, we can't sell your information to advertisers because we don't have your information yet.
That's right.
If you want to sponsor us, we promise we'll give you the names of our subscribers.
I mean, Tori has said that she will read anything. So
yeah, I will read literally anything.
Yeah,
I will sing it, and if the CIA wanted me to read anything, I'd do it for them because they definitely know where I live.
Right.
So that's more of a threat, but that's fine.
Well, now that we got that out of the way. Thanks, Tori. I forgot all about the name controversy.
I just wanted to set the record straight.
What's going on? Anybody have any...
I'm drinking the past.
Stuff to drink. The past.
Is that a wine?
It is a wine. It's a Sauvignon Blanc. It's from Trader Joe's, and it's called The Pass, and it's from New Zealand. And I chose it for some reason because I thought it would be interesting, but now I can't think of anything interesting about it.
Not even the flavor?
It's kind of it's white, winey, but a little thin. It's not bold. It's not bad. Bold. I don't mind it.
It's not bright. It's kind of subdued. No.
It's a little watered down. And I don't have fizzy water in it tonight.
Well, yeah. Why would you? I'm drinking. I got my maple bourbon.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
And I've mixed it with a tiny bottle of ginger ale. I was going to make a hot toddy because it's cold, but then I was like, we're going to be talking for a while, and it would just become then like a room temperature toddy. Mm-hmm. And like when you finish it, it's not like I can go put the kettle on and make myself another one. So I was like, maybe hot drinks are, I need to plan more for that. Maybe have a thermos. So for now, I'm doing ginger ale.
I don't like bourbon, but that maple bourbon and ginger ale sounds really good.
It's really good. It's so like it should be too sweet. It should be sweet and sweet together. But we buy the little polar ginger ales, little tiny cans, and it's like perfect. But it's small, so I will warn you at some point. I may need to mute myself and go make myself another one.
Here's an interesting, not quite water fact, but the Sprite. You can get those little cans. You know the Sprite for you can get 10. Of those little cans for $5.99. 12 of the regular size cans, $6.49. So 50 cents more, you get two more cans, plus they're all regular sized. Makes no sense.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
That makes sense. I understand it.
Is it? Why do you understand it?
Because people are dumb.
Surcharge on small cans?
The premium on self-restraint. And maybe just metal to liquid volume, like the materials cost. I don't know.
Also, people don't understand like the cost of things.
Well, the interesting thing is I only buy the little cans still because my son drinks the Sprite, and he doesn't want the big cans. He just wants the little cans because that's all he wants to drink.
Yeah. Those little cans are like the healthy amount.
Okay. Like you're sure.
I mean, not healthy. I mean, it's still soda, but like it's healthier.
But they should at least give us 12 cans for the same price as 12 large cans.
Why?
Yes.
It's already working. They don't need to.
What you could do, I mean, is your son married to the can format, or is it just the amount is the right amount?
Oh, you can't. People don't drink out of 2 liters.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. What you can do is you can buy the little tiny mason jars and decant the 2 liters into the mason jars, and then it's the amount that he wants.
And you still get the cute mason jars.
Well, yeah. I mean, you live on a farm, basically. It's an urban farm.
We do have a lot of mason jars because it's applesauce season and Ollie's.
Yeah, and it's the right, it's like the right little size. You can get the little.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I ordered a takeout to-go cocktail because Vermont's still doing that. And so I ordered takeout on Friday and I was like, ooh, they got the cocktails. And I paid $14 because it was $13 plus $1 bottle deposit because they put it in the mason jar. And they're like, if you bring the mason jar back, we'll give you the deposit back. But who's going to take the mason jar back? But anyway, so I'm thinking I'm getting like a jar of margarita. The tiny mason jar. $14 for a tiny margarita. And it was a delicious margarita, but it was still
tiny, yeah.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Because then I was like, well, next time I'm just going to order two. But then I'm like, that's almost $30 and two jars.
Two things are just more expensive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Would it have cost them anything to give me like a bigger mason jar? Whatever. It's fine.
And that's probably why the 2 liters are so much cheaper.
Yeah.
Because they're not cute.
No.
They're also kind of a weird size. They're a little too ungainly, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys watching Celebrity Jeopardy?
No.
No.
I'm supposed to respond. I'm just scowling.
I was just asking. It's moderately entertaining. Andy Richter was on last week, and he just completely dominated until Final Jeopardy and ended up losing to Simu Liu.
Good for him.
Yeah. And then this week, Liza Schlesinger?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. She beat Eddie Huang and... nope, not going to try. I can see him, and I could in his name has escaped my brain. It's not Reggie Hall, but it reminds me of that.
You know, so I'm not really into the game shows, but I'm now weirdly involved, but I'm paying attention to The Masked Singer.
Oh, why? No,
because it's Amber Riley has to be the harp.
Okay, I don't know who Amber Riley is.
She was Mercedes on Glee.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And she had the incredible voice. And so she's going on to The Masked Singer and doing like Whitney Houston songs and nailing them. And it's like the best thing that's ever happened on that show. And it's amazing because you can tell that like, because it's The Masked Singer, it's always about the celebrity more than the actual talent. So you can see there's always the instinct to like vote for literally anyone else. But you can't not vote for her. She's actually a good singer.
And you're invested and have followed her enough to know.
Because they're still, because then it's like all the other hosts are like so.
How did you stumble on this in the first place?
I saw a random clip on Twitter and they're like, the harp is great. And I listen and I'm like, oh, that's absolutely Amber Riley. And then I looked up all the other clips and I'm like, oh my God, it really is Amber Riley. And they finally gave a clue where Nicole, what's her face from Pussycat Dolls,
yeah,
was like, I'm pretty sure this is Amber Riley. But then all the other judges are like, oh, or what if it's, you know, Nicole Brown? And it's like, it's not Nicole Brown. Like, what are you talking about?
And so Kim they're trying. Brown's like, it's Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And they're all like just trying to play dumb. And it's like, you guys. So I really want. So now I'm like, I'm not going to actually watch the show, but I 100% have like now figured out the night that it airs so that I can look up on YouTube the next day.
The twins tell me who gets eliminated every week.
But do they care? But do they know the celebrities or do they only care about the costumes?
Occasionally they know the celebrities, but mostly they care about I'm like, this celebrity was eliminated and we don't know who that is. What costume are they? And that's really what they care about is.
Right. Is the, yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes they'll know who it is.
We've steamrolled right past what Dan's drinking.
Dan's drinking. Yeah, I know.
I thought, Tori, you were going to say that you wanted to watch The Masked Singer to find out if one of them was Tom Brady. But
no, there's only one of us on this podcast that is a Tom Brady fan, and we all know that is.
Tori, unnecessary.
Slander.
Unnecessary.
I'm drinking a Palmera Pilsner from Los Angeles Ale Works, which I think I've had before because these have been in my fridge for a little while. And it's... good. It's good. It's a good like beer to have when like you might be going for another beer later after you record elsewhere.
So
you need it to not be too heavy, you know, so you don't get sauced.
Is it a stakeout?
It's not a stakeout. The CIA doesn't do stakeouts, and also I'm not in the CIA.
It's an assassination by process of elimination.
Stakeouts is like detective stuff, Dustin. It's not
the CIA can't do a stakeout every once in a while.
No, it's very
specific to.
They call it surveillance.
Oh, that, yeah, see there you go.
See, I didn't know that. Tori knew that. So television, we watch it.
We do occasionally.
I just wanted to mention very quickly, and I'm writing down the time code so I can edit this later. Reservation Dogs ended its second season last week. Did you guys watch it?
Yes.
Just to say that like this show continues to be amazing, and they have been renewed for a third season, and I think they just started working on it in the writer's room. So it's just... I don't know. It's one of those shows where it week to week, you know, we didn't talk about it weekly here, but week to week, it continues to tell really interesting, fun, heartbreaking, you know, it like emotional stories that even when it's something vaguely similar, it, you know, it still has such a distinct point of view coming from, you know, indigenous writers who are telling indigenous stories. And but, you know, ultimately it's still about these four friends. So
yeah,
it is like The Good Fight, only in that they don't have actually any similarities, in that it is so good that we, like, when we talk about television, we mostly do so to complain. And there's just nothing to complain about when it comes to Reservation Dogs or The Good Fight.
It's true. It's true. Every week you sit down and you watch Reservation Dogs and you get to the end of the episode and you're like, this is the best episode they've ever done. And then you're like, I said that last week and the week before and the week before. Yeah. And every week there are overarching themes, but it doesn't feel like there's a plot. It's like each episode is contained and it may reference things that happened or build or things may come back into play, but they are wholly formed chapters. And it's just, it's so hard to define. And I think, like, one of the things you were saying, it's like, I think just hearing about the way some of the episodes were written, where it's like, you have the writers on this show come from, because they're indigenous and they come from, you know, some of them are poets, some of them are like, they're not all TV writers as their first sort of talent, as their, you know, as their first, they've learned it through other works that they've done, or they came on because of their point of view more than their, you know, their learned writing. And so you have episodes, like, I remember the one where it's like Cheese goes to gets arrested essentially and is taken to the boys' home or whatever. And the writer of that episode was like, yeah, like, that is something that happened to me.
Right.
Like, you know, that happened to me. And they asked me to, like, write this episode of my real experience, but filtered through, like, this character that's been built up in the relationships that this character has. And so you have each episode, you kind of get this feeling of like, they really are pouring genuine pieces of their life experience. And maybe it becomes fantastical through the transformation of being these fictional characters, but like, there's so much real there. It's a wonderful show.
Yeah.
And I have not seen the finale because I'm saving it. And that actually relates to the game I've planned for later.
Oh, all right.
That was actually my inspiration, was the fact that I was looking at my my DVR and I'm like, Reservoir Dogs is there and it's the last episode and I don't want to burn through it yet. I'm going to hold on to it.
Well, no spoilers, but it may shock you that it is a very lovely episode.
Wouldn't have seen it coming.
All right. Anyway, that's all I want to say about that. Speaking of shows that I wouldn't see coming because I probably am not going to watch it unless you guys make me, Interview with the Vampire.
Oh,
why? Why didn't you watch it?
I read the books. I didn't love the books. I saw the movie. I didn't love the movie, but I really like this show.
I've never read the book or seen the movie.
It might just be the pilot that I'm going to like.
And I ever cared about vampires. So
I never read the books. So the movie didn't make me want to read the book. The show makes me want to read the book.
The show's better than the book.
And the show is, I'm not saying it's better than, because the movie I liked quite a bit for what it was. And especially at the time.
Right, at the time, yeah. I mean, it was cool. It was fun casting.
It was fun casting, especially when Antonio Banderas shows up. that's just personal. But yeah, the show. And so I do feel like this is one of those where I think the conversation would be much richer if I could go through, like, the changes they've made from the book. Because I feel like I can see some of them just based on the changes from the movie. But, you know, like, I'm not sure it was quite as overtly... I don't think was Luis like overtly homosexual in it, but like as he Luis.
I don't think so. No.
But yeah, I mean the first episode was really entertaining, and knowing that like they got that groundwork laid and kind of because we, you know, if you've at least seen the movie, you know, an idea of where the show's heading. So you get to the end of the pilot and you're like so excited. So I'm like, I want to see what their Claudia is going to be. And they're like, what their, how, what's going to happen with Lestat. And like, I don't know. It's really well done so far.
And Bogosian, oh my God, he is so good in this.
Yeah.
That character was played by Christian Slater in the movie. So it's a completely different.
Well, it's completely different, but it almost feels like, and again, this is, I'm not sure how the frame story was constructed in the book, but the way it works out in the show is that like he has the tapes of him previously interviewing Louis, right. And like, and you see that he has a bite on his neck, which is sort of how like in the, in the movie. So it's not a it is almost like a sequel to the movie in the sense that you've got like Christian Slater would have been the younger version, right, of this interviewer the first time he interviewed the vampire. And then this is coming in after the fact and going, yeah, so that interview didn't go well. And now right. They're older and they're going to try it again, but telling the same story.
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
So yeah, far, the only thing I've heard too that makes me interested is Eric Bogosian.
Bogosian, and then I don't remember anything from the movie or the book except that the book was really heavy-handed.
Not surprising.
I did not remember. I mean, the race stuff wouldn't have been there because at least in the movie. Think so.
I mean, definitely wasn't in the movie. I don't think it was in the book. I think that like they're adding in that right. And I don't know. I mean, the book may have touched on it, but all the stuff with Louis' family, everything that kind of right. goes down there,
felt like a huge surprise to me. So right. I didn't. So I don't know if that was new or not.
But
again, yeah, so I read it when I was like 18.
Yeah, I do. It makes it. That's the thing. Like it's. It makes me want to go back and see like how much they're pulling from it. Cause it does feel like a much deeper story.
Right.
But it also, it's nice because like the first episode is really like the seduction of Louis and how much of that seduction is not to turn him into a vampire. Like it's an actual romantic seduction for yeah. most of the runtime.
I think maybe, AMC might pull out of its little tailspin with that, maybe.
Or do they still have Discovery of Witches coming?
Is that them?
They have it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't
know. I mean, I think it's like maybe a co-production or something.
I don't know. The Walking Dead started its final eight this week, and it was, eh. Yeah, basically that.
How is that?
Yeah, it was fine. It's just... Again, you know, it doesn't feel like the final eight because it's just setting up more spinoffs. So it's just, it feels yeah. like you're going through the mill here.
Yeah, it's so busy branching that there's no actual yeah. end.
There won't be an end. I mean, we may not see some of the characters again, but they'll probably seed them in the spinoffs eventually if they don't die.
So what spinoffs are still in the works, at least as far as...
There are three. Maggie and Negan get one. Daryl gets one. Carol had dropped out, but now they're saying that she's probably going to end up doing it, or at least show up in it. Well, I think she was burned out, and now, you know, it's been a year since they completed production on this final season.
Right.
And she's not as burned out. And it's set in Europe. And then there's the Andrew Lincoln spinoff.
But the Lincoln one is going to be a movie or miniseries?
I think it's going to be a 6-episode series now. Yeah.
So that, but that one is like they've pitched it as like this is the end of his story.
Yes, and I think that the Daryl spinoff, I think, is going to be his search for Rick, because they're all going. Daryl's going to Europe, which I assume is where Rick is.
Okay.
So if they're pitching this as the end of Rick Grimes, but he's been off the show for what, 8 years now?
Well, no, not that long.
But several years.
I feel like that. Since 2019.
No. Is that 2000 it? Only? No. It's he, left
the, he left in the ninth season, and then they're in the 11th now.
I feel like.
That no, doesn't feel like 2019.
Ninth episode, ninth season, episode 4.
And that was in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
2018, Dustin.
2018. Oh, was I was going to say, it? We definitely, yeah. I feel like the entire time we've done this podcast, Rick Grimes movie has been a thing. Right. Yeah.
All right.
So, okay. So I so was wrong. It's been 4 years. So, like, you kind of think that maybe that character's end has come.
I mean, yeah. You're like,
what more is there to say? Like, he, I thought he died. Yeah. So he didn't die. He took off on a helicopter or something?
Right.
Okay.
And that helicopter was supposed to play into all these other spinoffs, but all of that kind of, and then eventually the movie, but that all kind of like went away.
Got pandemicked.
Yeah. And I think lack of interest.
But not so much of a lack of interest that they can't have three spinoffs.
Honestly, I'm not sure that there's that much interest in the spinoffs either. They're just doing it because that's all they got left.
I mean, you'll watch.
Not because I want to.
This is what happens when you cancel Lodge 49 too early.
That's right.
That's true. You know, well, they do have Documentary Now coming back. I think this month.
Is that AMC?
Oh, I guess it's IFC, but I always kind of
I guess it's
together.
The same company, yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. Fair enough.
Yeah, and they got the Killing Eve prequel now.
And which, again, is weird, because, like, I mean, they have it through BBC America. It's just that anything that's good on BBC America, they air on all the different channels.
Right. And then Giancarlo Esposito has his show. And then Odenkirk has Nobody's Fool. So, I mean, they got some good stuff coming.
Yeah.
Presumably.
They'll be
I'm rooting
fine.
For AMC.
Well, because they're kind of like the last indie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I assume they're going to get bought up by someone. I mean, it makes sense for Amazon to buy them because, like, I think half the people probably watch AMC through their Prime account.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you pretty much, you're not signing up for AMC Plus or whatever it is on its own. You get right. it. I signed up through Amazon.
Right.
They have Dark Winds.
And yeah, Dark Haven. Winds.
I guess those are both on the streaming service. But
and
is it streaming only? They didn't.
Oh, they Dark didn't. Winds was on AMC. Moonhaven.
Yeah, I was going to say they had to.
Moonhaven was only AMC Plus.
And Gangs of London. Gangs of London, which is coming back in November, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a co-production, Dustin. That's completely still, different.
It's good.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm excited for it to come back. I don't know what the story is going to be, but
well, okay. So this isn't AMC, but remember when they renewed Warrior for a third season because of the HBO Max numbers?
Yes.
Where is that?
When they renewed it, they had not yet, I think, that
set any sort of writing.
I mean, I think that I think they're filming now.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be out maybe next year.
Okay. Because I want it.
Right.
Just want to make that clear.
Yeah. I think a lot of people want another season of Warrior. Wait, what network was that?
It was Cinemax originally.
Cinemax, I remember.
That's right. And then Cinemax decided no more scripted.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too, and then but it was like they had already kind of like, I feel like maybe not officially, but like kind of, it was pretty much not coming back. And then HBO Max launched, didn't have that much new stuff. But they had the Cinemax stuff, so everyone right. watched. But that was where I was worried because I was like, okay, so it got the early HBO Max numbers. But then, like, what if now that it's been a while, what if they were like, actually, we don't feel like paying for this?
Right. That would be disappointing, but I believe it is still happening.
Okay. I trust you. You wouldn't let me down.
No.
Probably not.
Dan doesn't lie.
That's true. I don't.
I mean, except about what he does for a living.
Although, when's the last?
He has to.
I know. It's a spy organization.
I tell the truth. Sometimes I omit details, but I tell the truth.
Yes.
I was going to try to use that in a segue, but it didn't really work out.
You tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If we were segueing to the lawyer show.
Oh, but I did quickly want to mention that Rex Ryan got eliminated this week from Amazing Race in week two. So no more Rex Ryan.
Okay.
Well, we talked about it last week. Rex Ryan, the football, and what a terrible person he is. And
the foot fetish.
Yeah, the teeth and the foot fetish. And then, you know, I looked him up because I wrote a thing on him. And he is still a terrible person, but not as bad as I remember he was. Like, he was a Trump guy, but then when Trump came out against Kaepernick and that whole thing, Rex Ryan was like, fuck you, Trump, I'm done with you. So, you know. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the foot fetish thing, it was kind of endearing. I mean, gross, but endearing.
There's nothing gross about feet. I mean, you know, they're like clean.
Particular thing. It was like his wife of 23 years, and you know, all the videos were about his wife, and so it was kind of sweet in a, you know, weird kind of way.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Sweet.
And then when he got eliminated, I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. I was a little sad about it. But he was sweating up a storm. He did not belong on that show.
The takeaway is that Dustin loves Rex Ryan and Tom Brady.
Yes. And feet.
And feet. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. No judgment. Consensual. Especially your wife's feet. You should 100% love your wife's feet.
She-Hulk. We're going to talk about She-Hulk.
Thank you.
Speaking of feet, you know who's got some biggins?
You know whose feet ripped her sandals 2 weeks ago?
Oh, man. She-Hulk happened. She had therapy. Tim Roth came back. It was great.
It was a very sweet episode.
The Asian guy is evil, apparently.
Yeah, that was a disappointment. I saw it coming. You can see it.
He was too perfect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and the big letdown, as the commenters insisted on pointing out, was that, of course, he wasn't the groom. There was no way he could have been the groom. I acknowledge that there was no way he could have been the groom, but that didn't make it less fun to speculate about. I don't know why the commenters have to, like, you know, I'll be dick about it.
Can I say this? When I read your recap, which was very enjoyable, I kept thinking that the groom was a reference to an obscure Marvel character that I didn't know about.
I would have capitalized it.
Well, yeah, but.
No, that's true. So this episode continues to dangle the false promise of a Daredevil appearance and then snatch it away by sending Jen on various different adventures that have nothing to do with law or Daredevil. So this time she had to go out to the weird abomination, the abomination's compound, where he's set himself up as a guru and is offering group therapy sessions to a lot of Z-list actual comic characters. Mm-hmm. That no one will remember unless you're like a really hardcore, like have read Marvel comics from the 70s, like very, you have to be very deep in it to be like, oh, it's that one. And it's actually this version of the porcupine, not the other two versions of the porcupine. And like, you know, you can get really nerdy about it, but it's also great because it's one of those things where it's so obviously not important, but you could go into it and be like, well, you know, that character was a, you know, villain, you know, who used to face off against this other character. So maybe it'll come back later. And it's like, no, of course it's not going to come back. Like, none of this matters. Like, it's the whole point.
Right.
They're giving you fodder for a yarn wall that is meaningless.
Right.
That episode, it reminded me of, remember that old Matthew Perry show, Dan?
Go On?
Yeah, yes. It reminded me a little of that. And I was like, I would like this show, like, as a Go On with these characters.
I thought you were going to say Anger Management.
Oh, no, no.
No.
I thought you were going to say Mr. Sunshine.
Mr. Sunshine was good, too. That was the Andrea Anders one, right?
I believe
with
so.
With Matthew Perry? Yeah. I loved Andrea Anders back in the day.
There's so many options.
Matthew Perry has a lot of short-lived sitcoms.
He does. He's got a book coming out.
Oh, he does.
I mean, Dan would know that as the Friends super fan.
That's true.
I don't
He's probably
read
already
books,
pre-ordered it. So.
Books is not TV, so don't pay attention to that. See that shelf behind me? It's DVDs. It's not books.
I did want to also interject again. SNL this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The not a great episode, but the cold open was fantastic.
Was it?
Yes.
I love that cold open. And
was it?
Miles Teller is a really good Peyton.
He was a good Peyton Manning.
And I like the little meta stuff. And then the monologue was okay, and they had a couple of skits, but it kind of like.
I did find it interesting that you really liked the stand-up who did a bit on Update.
Oh, I did like him.
He was okay. Like I thought that he felt like he'll improve.
Right. He had he had what felt like a sort of intentional low energy. Like maybe he was a little stoned or something.
Kind of like David Spade-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for
not as sarcastic, but like. Right. In that kind of delivery. But you hated the Charmin sketch, which
that was terrible. Absolutely terrible.
That was probably the sketch of the night.
No. What?
Yeah. The Charmin bear who just wants to dance. Of course, that's the best sketch. What are you gonna pick, Dustin? You're gonna pick the women dancing at the bar 10-1 sketch.
I like the Nicole. Oh God, that was like one of the worst 10-1 sketches I've seen in a long time.
The AMC one was pretty.
Yeah,
good
the AMC one, and I like the one with Adam Levine.
Oh, that one was it was fine. It's just, but it's just like one. It's you get the know, you get the joke instantly. Like you get the joke at the beginning. The only non-telegraphed joke, which was also telegraphed by the structure, was that Bowen Yang would also have trouble.
Right.
Despite, although I did like the line that he had won like $1 billion the previous episode.
Oh, and Bowen Yang, he was not good. I mean, they sort of like leaned on him too hard. And,
excuse me, what?
Because I'm sorry. What else do they have?
I know.
What are you talking about?
He, the little bug guy, terrible.
What, terrible. The lantern fly?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Maybe SNL's not for you, Dustin.
Yeah, I feel like for the guy who watches it all the time, you have a lot of. I really think that one of these days we need to do a whole episode of Pajiba where we go sketch by sketch and you two just argue it out.
Oh,
I'm okay with
like
that.
Like a
yeah.
real deep dive on that week's SNL.
We could do that. Tori, but you're also going to have to jump in.
I will watch it. And not just for the musical
guest.
Oh, well, Kendrick Lamar was really good.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I almost never watch the musical guest because I'm writing it up. I'm doing it at like 7 in the morning. I'm trying to get through the show so that I can make breakfast with my kids. And
he was so wrong. He froze.
That's perfect. Dustin, we don't know what you said, and it doesn't matter because you were wrong. So
probably, yeah.
anyway, but yeah, SNL's back. It's still a TV show.
It continues to be
a TV show. I mean, it's always tricky, especially the first episode, especially when they're also trying to break in so many new people,
right?
And so they lost so many people.
Yeah. So they're figuring it out.
And Cecily is on Broadway at the moment, so she's not even there.
What is she doing on Broadway? What show?
I don't know.
She was doing a revival of a one-woman show, which I forget. But
please tell me it's the Vagina Monologues.
No. Is she still doing this? Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I don't know if that's still going. Anyway.
I heard they're doing a second season of Schmigadoon, but it'll be called Schmicago.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so they're moving from the, like, 40s, 50s musicals to, like, the 60s, 70s. It'll be more, like, Bob Fosse-esque or something. I don't know. But I think she's still in it.
Oh, just on SNL, my kid discovered It's Pat this weekend, and he was scandalized. He's like, oh, my God, what is this?
It was a wild time in the 90s. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the things that formed us.
Yep, yep.
Oh, Dustin, apparently the search for signs of intelligent life in the universe is actually in LA right now. But it's still Cecily Strong. So.
Oh.
But that explains why she is not SNL
this
month.
I like you're telling Dustin as if he could go when you could actually go. Like, you could go get tickets and see her.
See, the problem is that I could, but unfortunately, for reasons that are cannot be disclosed, I actually cannot go.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer, because if I had known, then maybe I would have tried to go. Unrelated, Kung Fu Season 3 premieres actually the day that we're releasing this episode. So
yeah.
Tori will have a Kung
Fu. You should watch that show that Dan doesn't watch.
I don't watch it, but everyone else should, based on Tori's reviews.
Eerily aware of it. Yes, Kung Fu Season 3 comes back this season, and I guarantee it's going to make me angry because the previews are promoting a not Henry character. And I'm trying not to get my hackles up about it, but like a little up.
Sometimes you got to pull them apart in order to create.
Sometimes characters
attention.
Have to grow, you know.
I mean,
and sometimes you need new characters to help them grow.
I'll take your word for it.
Look, I've again never seen the show. Can't comment on it. I don't know. Tori seems to enjoy it. So
I do. I'm very much looking forward to it.
All right. Well,
so maybe we'll talk about it next week if we have an episode next week.
Hey, what did you guys think of that new Quantum Leap? The second one. Much better.
I can't watch it because I need a Peacock subscription. They only offered the first episode for free.
Oh, well, just ask me.
Okay, well, let's offline it. Because I was really upset when I tried to watch it. And they were like, you need to have premium. And I'm like, God damn it. Oh, yeah.
I did watch about a third of the episode.
And
I didn't finish. Not because I was enjoying it fine. I got busy catching up on Andor.
Oh.
It was a space episode, right?
It was a space episode. Yeah. I went to a different space show.
Better, mostly in that it made the season long arc simpler and more interesting. And also I heard that the pilot episode will be the sixth that Dan was talking about will be the sixth episode. So the new showrunner, Martin Giro,
who was a non-writing producer before.
Right.
He was always attached to the show.
Right. But he actually did basically the original showrunners were left after the pilot, which is now the sixth episode. So all of this is the new showrunner, except for the sixth episode.
Oh.
However that works in showrunner land.
Cool.
I don't know. But La Brea was shit.
Shit. I read both your recaps and you made me really excited for Quantum Leap, and the La Brea recap was really
just
funny.
Really underwhelming.
What was underwhelming about it?
Was it a woolly hippo or something?
Yeah, they had a woolly rhino, right?
Oh, God. I don't
I think it was a woolly. It's just like, it's the second season premiere. You know, you got to do something interesting or fun, but they didn't. It was just like a continuation. It was very anticlimactic. They didn't add much to the mythology. It was just like,
It wasn't there something where it was like, it was like there was something really built up in the finale where it was like these two characters go through a portal and they're supposed to end up in Seattle, and you think they're gonna like walk to LA or something, and then it's like, oh no, they were wrong. They were in LA the whole time, and like that was the reveal.
Right. Yeah. The Hollywood sign in that cold open fell through another portal from 1988. The people who thought they were in Seattle see the Hollywood sign and realize, oh no, we're not in Seattle. We're actually somehow, and we fell through a hole in Seattle and landed in LA because I don't think they could figure out how to get them from Seattle to LA. And
yeah, I mean, that would have been dumb, but it's also stupid that like, okay, so those characters went through a portal in Seattle and ended up in the in LA.
Right.
But then the Hollywood sign falls through LA. Like, there's no reason. Like, if one portal can move through time and space, why can't the other portal? Like, just because you're seeing a part of the Hollywood sign in the past, it doesn't. If we now know that the portals can move through space, there's no reason to believe that.
That is true. Yeah.
That you were in LA, that sign could have fallen through a portal from Los Angeles and dumped it literally wherever. So they've actually just made it worse because the characters have no signposts. Well, yes. You can't trust anything you see if it's fallen through a hole.
And also, two of the characters at the end of the last season, they jump through a portal and come land in 1988. They spend one episode in 1988. The Hollywood sign falls through and they're like, oh, we got to go back. They spent the whole thing trying to get to 1998, and now they're like, oh, we miss our folks. We got to go back.
Like, oopsie. So they're gonna
use the Hollywood sign to try to get back. It was dumb.
What I'm hearing, Dustin, is that you really miss Manifest.
Yeah, kind of, because at least that was, like, interesting dumb. This was just dumb. Boring dumb.
Do you have hopes that Manifest will, now that it's under kind of the Netflix banner, do you think it'll get...
No, I've seen the trailer. It looks terrible. I probably shouldn't mention that. But I do know somebody who worked on Manifest, who talked to somebody who's still on Manifest, who knows all about the ending, and he says it is holy shit bonkers. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Good bonkers or?
Oh, like... I think any kind of bonkers is good or bad, yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm only like, this is two chunks of 10 episodes, and it's going to be the sort of thing where I'm going to be like racing through it so I can be the first to finish. Cause this is my show. Damn it.
Okay. But will you be racing through them at a faster speed, or do you think you'll actually watch it at like normal speed?
I don't watch anything at normal speed except for, She-Hulk, I watch at normal speed.
Really?
And Survivor and Amazon and Amazing Race, because I watch it with my family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And She-Hulk is short enough that it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't feel... It never feels long.
No. Mm-hmm.
At all.
So what's the fastest that you watch a TV show?
I really... 1.7 is standard, and I never go faster than that, except for Lord of the Rings. I've never gone beyond 1.7, maybe 2.0 if it's really bad, but.
But you had Lord of the Rings, you had Rings of Power up to 3.0.
Yeah, I had it up at 3, yeah.
And that is, you can still appreciate the craft of it as they sound more and more chipmunkian, Dustin?
They don't, it never sounds chipmunkian, but it does move at a faster pace. But even still, with Lord of the Rings, sometimes that feels like a normal pace.
I feel like he's doing it specifically so he doesn't have to appreciate the craft of, say, the kind of long song sequences. you know what show came back that you guys don't watch, but I'm very happy about? Spy Family. Mm-hmm.
Spy Family,
yes.
That's an anime. It's the back half of the first season. So it's they did like 12 episodes, took a little hiatus, and then they came back. And it's at like my favorite part of the story where they get the dog that sees the future. It's great. But
I do have to.
The dog sees the future, but then the little girl is a telepath, so she can read the dog's mind, so they know what's going on, but nobody else understands what's going on. It's great. Wonderful show.
You know what else I watch at regular speed this week?
What?
Lace of Spookies.
You can't speed that up.
I know it's a lot more enjoyable at regular speed because it's, you know, translated, so
right.
You don't really want to watch that.
And the drama of it is like, that's part of it. Oh my god, when he was doing the staircase model bit, like the show. This is what, and I've realized. Like, I think this is my flavor of comedy, my preferred comedy, is not necessarily like setups and punchlines. I really want something that is absolutely absurd, but performed deadpan. Yeah. And that is Los Espookies. Exactly, it's like, yes, it's Julio Torres taking it way too seriously as a staircase model.
That's very Julio Torres and Fred Armisen's, that I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That show is really enjoyable. Yes. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Speaking of shows that are really enjoyable.
I don't think there's anything on the list that qualifies.
Yeah, I guess we're done.
We're out of shows. Are we moving on to the game? Do we have
do we want to talk about House of the Dragon? I'm genuinely asking because I don't know. I'm on the edge of like feeling like I don't know that I need to keep watching.
I don't understand why you guys don't. What is there not to enjoy about this show?
Oh no, I enjoy it. It's trash. It's poorly written, poorly shot. Like it is absolute garbage, but it is very addicting. Like it has big, dumb things that happen every week that I'm like, yeah, somebody almost lost his eye. Yeah, incest, and I get like really into it. But then it's terrible. I mean, it's like literally like just shoving a Snickers bar into your eyeball,
and that's okay.
Every Sunday,
I feel like the pacing issues which lead to characters seeming irrational is harder and harder for me to enjoy.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that, you know, it does, except for several scenes where it's way too dark and you can't see anything. You know, I mean, like a lot of the production is still very impressive and the cast is still great, but yeah, I don't know.
It's got some Real Housewives quality going on.
And I could watch Real Housewives for that.
Yeah.
Sure, but they don't wear
cool Real costumes. Housewives doesn't take giant weird time jumps in the middle of every two episodes.
And Real Housewives has friends of Dustin's.
But it doesn't have dragons.
It's true, it doesn't have dragons. Yeah, I mean, look, I am still absolutely going to watch House of the Dragon. Like, because sometimes you just want to get mad at something. And the plot, like when you get, like when you're inside of the episode and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, like they're scheming and yeah, like that Allison, what a asshole. And you know, you get into it and then you sit back at the end and you're like, okay, but that was nonsense. And like, and we're taking a time jump again next week. And it's just.
I mean, you guys know this because I've already shared it with you, but my favorite part was when they were all arguing about the kid who got maimed. And in my mind, I was like, oh, this is like NBC's hit TV show, The Slap.
Which lasted,
makes
what,
sense. Yeah.
Season?
It was a limited series.
Oh, it was limited.
It was only supposed to last a season.
Because you can only do so many episodes about a show that starts with a
slap.
Yeah.
Somebody slapping a kid and then the family is dealing with it.
The best part is that was also a remake of an Australian show. So.
Oh, what happened to that guy? He had a vampire show on AMC. Did that get, who am I talking about? The lead in that?
I do not know.
No, come on. Isn't he a Ryan Murphy? Tori. He had the vampire chauffeur show on AMC.
Chauffeur?
Wasn't he a vampire or something? He was in the backseat of a limo and
Interview with the Vampire.
No. Yeah. No, the guy from The Slap, and then he went to that AMC show. Oh, you're gonna make me look it up.
Discovery. Low Winter Sun.
No.
I didn't review that.
It wasn't that. It was
no. Okay. All right, wait.
Zachary Quinto. He was
Nosferatu.
Yes, thank you. See?
And you were almost right with vampire chauffeur. Yes, he had a car.
He was in a car.
And he did drive children around, which would mean he was sort of chauffeuring them. Okay.
See? I know what I'm talking about. What happened to that guy? Did that show get canceled?
It had a second season, and then yes, it.
Oh, it did
not
have a second season that nobody watched. Shame.
All right. Well, we have a few minutes left, just enough time for Tori to present her game that she's hinted at, but we don't know what it is.
Okay, so it's not really a game. It's more of a. It's more of a test of taste. So we'll see who has the better taste. No, so I was inspired when I logged into. So now that television is back, I have quickly found myself falling behind. So there's only so many hours in the day, and blah blah blah. And so you always get to that point where you, like, you know, you get your chance to watch TV and you turn on your app or your DVR or whatever, and there are all the shows that are new that have recorded, and you have to decide what to watch first. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not necessarily a question of what the better show is. It's, well, yeah, what your mood is or whatever. But I thought it would be kind of fun to just do a little pop quiz on what your viewing habits would be. So I'm going to throw out two shows, and you guys have to tell me which you would watch first. So I want to start getting a sense of what you're, and you can justify it. Like, if it's, mm-hmm. you know, not necessarily that it's the better show, but it's the one that's the, you know, because you have your guilty watches, the things. Basically, I was thinking about the fact that I was staring at Hulu, and I've been putting off the Reservation Dogs finale. Mm-hmm. But the second Big Sky was available, I was like, hell yeah. I was like, this is not actually a statement of quality. This is just, right. But your priorities are different. I go
through this mental calculation like every night. Yeah,
every night.
I enjoy that. Yeah.
So I thought it would be fun to get an idea of how you guys calculate.
Okay.
Let's start with, and some of these I know that we all watch, some of them I know not all of us watch, so the answers may be very obvious, but I've tried to just kind of set up a few pairs and we'll see where we go. So start with House of the Dragon versus Rings of Power.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
I know. You have to.
Are we both entering?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I always watch Rings of Power on Sunday morning in chunks because I can't watch it in one sitting. And then I watch Hot D as it's happening. I'll wait till like 9:20 and then watch it.
So if you had both of them available, you would watch House of the Dragon.
I think I might still watch Rings of Power to get it over with so that I can enjoy. If I had Rings of Power waiting on me, I would not enjoy House of Dragon nearly as much. Because I'm like, oh God, if I...
When I finish this, I've got to watch the other.
So, yeah.
How about you, Dan?
I mean, look, the answer is, despite what I've just said, the answer is House of the Dragon, because I stopped Lord of the Rings a long time ago. So, yeah.
How far did you make it into Rings of Power?
One episode.
One episode.
And I understand that it gets better, and maybe I'll go back at some point, but I have no motivation to do so right now.
That is fair.
Whereas as much as I complain about House of the Dragon, obviously there's something hooking me because I haven't quit yet, despite the fact that I keep threatening. So
I mean, I think we just need to acknowledge that complaining is fun. Sometimes complaining is the point.
Right.
Yes.
All right. So how about Survivor versus The Amazing Race?
Survivor.
Really? So we always do Amazing Race first because we want to save the best for last.
I also don't watch Amazing Race.
Okay, so that makes it easier. And you're just about delayed gratification.
Most of the time. There's exceptions.
Okay.
Like, the Good Fight I will watch immediately, like, no matter what. And I don't know if it's actually the best thing and also the easiest thing. It is the Justified of this era. Remember Justified? You watch it as soon as it came on, and then, like, it was so sad when it was over. And it was such an easy watch.
Okay. I don't watch The Amazing Race, so obviously that it's easier for me. But I will say I do watch Survivor Night of whenever possible, and part of the reason is that the way that my Twitter algorithm has curated itself, I will be spoiled if I don't, especially when it's like a big elimination or like something crazy happens. So so usually I'm off Twitter for a few hours until I can watch.
Because you got West Survivor. Coast. See, you have that West Coast equation.
Yeah, I'd like to be back on Twitter after that. So really, Twitter. The answer is Twitter. I would like to watch Twitter.
So you spend a lot of time on Twitter, but you don't tweet a lot. Interesting.
He lurks like a CIA agent.
It's important to
read
stuff. I have a day job. So
yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I have a day job that is not surveillance.
All right. Well, since you brought it up, Dustin, let's do The Good Fight versus Evil. If we're going to do CBS.
No.
That's really hard because I have the exact same feeling toward both shows. And I mean,
if you were to come across, if you were to open up that app and there was a new episode of each, which would you start with?
That would be an amazing night, first of all.
Yes. And I am cheating. Some of these like matchups obviously are not going to happen.
I think I would go evil first just because I like Good Fight a little bit more, and I would want to save that for. Because a lot of my working in is the equation in my head is like, I have to stay up as late as possible. So I also want to keep the best for last so that I can stay up. Because if it's like the shit show, I'm going to fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. You have to get it all in. So watch the stuff that, right.
Right.
The less interested, the things that aren't going to engage you earlier when you're awake.
Right. Right.
Okay. Okay, so let's move on to Disney Plus right now. So She-Hulk versus Andor. Different vibes. Okay, well, we're just going to run.
Well, we're gonna keep going, but yeah. We've hit the hour mark as well.
I feel like this, I don't think anyone is better than the other, but I would probably do She-Hulk first because it feels like the appetizer kind of show.
Yeah.
I do like Andor quite a bit.
Yeah.
Until this weekend, my answer would have been She-Hulk. That's also because I was behind on Andor. But I think as of right now, I would actually watch Andor first.
Yeah.
Because you're most excited about it.
Because I'm a little more excited about it, and it has...
But then if you watch Andor first, then you have the thing you're less excited about.
No, but She-Hulk is a show that I can watch. Like, She-Hulk could be... She-Hulk is something that's versatile. Like, I can watch it as, like, a cool-down at the end of the night kind of show. I could watch it when I'm, like, fully engaged. Like, it can kind of slot into wherever. Whereas, like, Andor... again, I just caught up, like, over the weekend. But, like, Andor... After that, I feel like Andor is a show where I'm like, oh, I want to be, like... This is like, I want to sit down, I want to pay attention, I want to not do anything else.
Yeah.
Well, half hour shows are typically shows that I put in between dramas as sort of like a...
Break it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so interesting because you have this like, you know, half hour comedy and a half hour drama. Like Andor is short, I think.
It's getting longer though.
Yeah.
It's getting longer. That's true.
Very quickly.
It doesn't feel like a short show. She-Hulk feels like a short show.
Even if it is. It's always just like... I will say, like, on this one, even though Andor comes on Wednesday, so I could watch it early, I save it for the weekend because it feels like a weekend show to me. Like, I want to cook a nice meal and, like, enjoy it and focus. And I have to, I mean, because I'm recapping it, like, I obviously watch She-Hulk on Thursday when it airs, and it's the first thing I do. But, like, you know, Andor, I will, and also it's nice because as you brought up Twitter, like, the things that you choose so that they don't get spoiled, I never feel like Andor, it feels like a spoilerless show. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll see screenshots sometimes or like, oh, this actor shows up, but, like, out of context, it's all meaningless.
Right.
Like, I've never, even waiting days, I never find that an episode is spoiled for me.
Right.
So... That is kind of refreshing. all right, just because we have to do it, La Brea versus Manifest.
Manifest.
Yeah, I mean,
I watched more Manifest than I did La Brea. So
fair.
That's where that comes from.
Those, like, you know, when they came, I think they both came on Tuesday nights, not at the same time, but both of those are shows that I will not watch when they air. I will watch during work the next day so that I can, because I will recap them right afterwards, but also I want to put that off because I don't like watching them, either one of them. they're work. It's not something I enjoy. I mean, even if they're dumb and kind of stupid or fun, they're still work.
So which one?
Manifest is... I would watch second because I like it slightly more.
Slightly more. Okay. Yeah. So you would watch. Okay.
God, to say that I like Manifest better than anything is painful.
That's why I'm really happy that we're doing this. all right. This one I feel like is going to be, well, I don't know. I don't remember how much you've seen of the show, Dan, but let's go Big Sky versus Yellowstone. I've never seen Yellowstone.
No, but Yellowstone and Big Sky have the they both have the same
vibe.
vibe where you like, you just want to watch, because they're easy to watch. You can like, the time goes by and like no time.
Yeah.
You watch them first just because you can get them over with and you enjoy it and you're in a good mood when they're over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which of the two would you?
Big Sky I like more. So I mean, Big Sky season 3.
Right. Yeah. We're only talking about season 3.
Yeah.
I haven't seen, I watched only a couple episodes of each. I think I would probably watch Big Sky first.
Okay.
I think Yellowstone, and I haven't seen it since season 1, but like, I think it was probably more, it might be a better show, but Big Sky was very like digestible. Yeah. Not that Yellowstone wasn't, but like, I don't know. Big Sky was like a very easy, like, oh, I could totally just sit down and watch a bunch of these. I feel like, especially because it was because of like the contained, you know, mystery, story, like mystery arc per season kind of thing.
Yeah.
Tori, I know this is your game, but I want to ask you one just to get your thoughts on your process. And let's say Lace of Spookies and Dark, which would you go to first?
Oh, so I actually have, I will, okay. Between Los of Spookies and Dark, I would obviously start with Los of Spookies and then end on Dark, because Dark is gonna wipe you out.
Yes.
Like, you know, like it's so intellectually, and so like I can see the argument for watching it first and then having Los of Spookies to like unwind from it. But yeah, I kind of feel like when you're done with Dark, especially because like
done,
it's like I need to go to bed. Like I'm exhausted. My brain is pudding at this point. Like I'm out. But I had a pair up, and I want to see what you guys think because I put this together. So I put Los of Spookies versus The Patient because I wanted 2 half-hour shows that kind of are interesting genre wise.
Well, I will tell you that The Patient on Tuesdays is the first thing I watch because it's an easy watch. It's 20 minutes and you can knock it out. Yeah. And if it Lace of Spookies is a little more brain intensive, so that would go second.
I mean, okay.
Mostly just because it's in a different language. That's right. The only reason why. Because you have to like read. Yeah.
Having not seen The Patient.
Dan, it's 20 minutes.
There's a lot of stuff I still haven't watched The Bear.
I haven't either.
Oh my God.
I haven't watched it.
You just watch one episode and then you're in.
That's the whole point. Yeah, it's a lot to commit to. And also,
it's also a short show.
Right, but you're telling me that like one episode I'm in and then I got to watch 9 more episodes.
Yeah, and it's like it just really seems anxiety-inducing.
It's not. Everybody keeps saying that. It's not anxiety-inducing in that way. It's not. It's tense, but it's not like stressful to you personally, unless you like in food service.
Dustin, I don't know what part of my life makes you think that I can just sit and watch 5 hours of TV all in one sitting.
Yeah, why do you think that anxiety doesn't impact me? Like, what if I'm just very sensitive?
But it's not sensitive in a way that's relatable. I mean, you don't have to like worry about serving food.
No, but that it's a fear of mine. There's a reason I don't work in serve. I could never really do. No. And so that's the thing. Like I don't like emotional stuff. Like I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for. Like people can cry on and people can die in TV shows and like that doesn't bother me. Like kitchen stress, that would impact me. Huh. Anxiety gets to me.
Molly watched one episode and quit, but I don't think it's stressful in that way. I think it's a good stress.
I will try it at some point, but I'm telling you, that might actually.
Oh, you're going to try it, and then you're going to get so hardcore addicted.
I would watch Los of Spookies first.
Yeah. All right. Noted. Okay. All right, let's do sitcoms.
Mm.
Abbott Elementary versus Home Economics.
Abbott.
Yeah, this is one of those cases where I would take the better one first.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I just like to watch Abbott so much. But I also really like Home Economics, but it's not a great show.
Home Economics is good, but that's one that I feel like is a good, like, I feel like I kind of use that show the way that you use sitcoms generally, Dustin, where it's like, it's right. a good, like, oh, fill in, like, I just need a break and watch yeah. something right. that, like,
it's exactly
is enjoyable, I mean, yeah. but not gonna, like,
I need a fill in buffer somewhere yeah. and like, oh, yeah. good, I have an episode that I can just
yeah.
watch.
Right. I mean, or it's like midnight and I'm tired and I need to go to sleep, but I could get through 20 more minutes of Home Act. Sure.
right.
All right. So let's do Wrexham versus Mythic Quest, which is coming Ooh. Back in November.
Oh,
Mythic Quest. So cheating slightly, but yeah.
You can go first. I think, go ahead, Dan.
Oh yeah, I would watch Mythic Quest first, no doubt. Oh, like yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying Wrexham. But it's also not a show that I feel like if I wait, I'm gonna worry or I'm missing something. I mean, it's also, you know, not that I've looked it up. I've managed to stay not spoiled, but this is also stuff that happened, you know, over a year ago. So
right.
Versus Mythic Quest, I really just want to hang out with those characters.
yeah.
I Not work with the them, opposite.
I want to be there.
I find Wrexham to be one of the easiest shows to watch. Mythic Quest I love, but it's not like, I mean, you need to pay attention. Wrexham, you can enjoy without putting your full attention to it.
Right.
You can sort of like, you can look at your phone a little bit while you're watching Wrexham and still get all the enjoyment you want out of it. So yeah. that's a nice way to ease into the TV night. You guys have TV nights like every night, but except for podcast night for me is a TV night. Where you just like at 9 o'clock, you just watch 3 hours of TV.
I don't do it that way, but I the way I do it, and this is partly why I think a lot about like what I'm going to watch when, is because like, so my husband is like works all day. He's in grad school. He's also a TA in grad school, like between homework and his
the TA. Good for mom.
Oh yeah. He's yeah. I mean, he's really, but he's like really stressed. And so his time, like we have 1 to 2 hours every night where it's like, I cook dinner, we sit down and we watch, and it's like, whatever we watch, that's our time together. Because when we're done, he's probably going to have to go back and do homework or do whatever. And so it's like, I get very, it's almost like pressure, because it's like, okay, I want to maximize what are we going to really enjoy together? We've got to make this TV count. And so that's why the calculus that we're kind of talking about became more important to me, because it's also like, what are we in the mood for tonight? What shows are relaxing, or what shows do I want to save for the weekend where we have a little bit more time to enjoy? How do we balance? And I do find that there are those shows where, okay, just because there's a new episode on, I'm going to pocket that for a while. And maybe tonight we're just going to spend catching up on things that we'd been putting off for a while right. or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I never have like the 9 o'clock, I'm just going to watch until midnight. It's like, I have like from 7 to 9. And then there's always the things where he's like, it's stuff that maybe I have to watch. And he's just like, I have zero interest. I'm like, okay, I'll go upstairs and watch that by myself.
I usually get to Sunday night and then I'm in a panic and I'm like, oh my God, what do I have to watch for Monday?
You're doing it for us.
But I have that sort of, it's not the same as with one, but with the family, we have certain shows that we watch
together on
particular nights. Yeah. Like 7 to 8:30. That's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's your family time.
Like, yeah. It's like the best.
Yeah.
And that is Survivor and Amazing Race and She-Hulk.
Yeah. The Disney shows, yeah. All right, so I've been putting this one off.
All right,
we have to
gotta wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
So last one, we'll do last one.
Okay.
Kung Fu versus Riverdale. Gotta go. CW.
This one's easy for me, but Dan doesn't watch Kung Fu, so I don't know.
I mean, it's really hard for him. I've never seen either show, so really it's
well, and to be fair, one show exists solely in Dustin's head, so it's not really a fair question.
Right. I mean, I feel like Riverdale, it just feels like it can go anywhere. I also feel like if I don't say Kung Fu, then this is going to become a court case against me someday.
Yeah, it might.
For
yeah.
reasons right. unknown. So I think I'll say Kung Fu, because Tori makes it sound so delightful.
It's great. I think you'd really like it.
Kung Fu is first for me too. It's like one of those shows that I start the night with because it's an easy watch and enjoyable. Riverdale, like Manifest, and La Brea is one I wait for. I really rarely watch television during the day. Rarely. But those three shows I do watch during work because because I know my hours are limited and I have to just like get through it as quickly as possible. And
you're only doing it for work and like, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, I feel like this was really insightful. Thank you guys.
And who won the game?
That was a fun conversation.
Oh man. Who won? I think that actually nobody won. I think that I was coming out here to be like, Dan has better taste, but what I thought was really interesting was all of the times where you guys had a different answer. It was always because you actually agreed. It's just that you have a different approach. It's that you will watch the thing that you like least first to savor, and you will go right for the thing that you like most.
Right.
So you actually, as much as I hate to say it, you both won.
Dust and cheese is what I'm hearing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He managed to disagree with you, but in a way that still co-opted your taste.
That sounds like cheating to me. Dustin cheats his way to a draw. Just like the chess tournament scandals that are happening right now.
Or the poker. The poker.
The anal beans.
I don't know anything about that. So the fact that you know clearly is a
story. I looked it up because I was like, what the fuck is going on with chess?
You looked it up. Yeah, you looked up.
He's looking for tips. He's going to be watching Manifest with anal
That's the show, mostly because I have to go a little bit earlier than normal, but we'll be back. We will be back next week. So
we will be back next week.
Yeah,
probably.
We'll figure it out.
Good.
Yeah. But even though I have to go on a stakeout for 3 weeks, we'll be back. More TV as always. Tori will have Kung Fu Corner. Maybe Dustin will have 5 minutes of TV at some point. Yeah, we'll see. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.